Yeah. You got a buzz, and it wasn't from the coffee nor from what you drank. So, all right. Welcome, welcome. May 1st. How about that? It's every May there is a first, so that's today. Well, I want to thank everybody for last week filling in and whatever, all the capacities that were gone. We were detained along the way, but even if I'd have made it the whole way, I would not have been fit to speak. So it went well. Everything went well, and we're going to have a camping party at our house in the driveway, open. Okay. Yeah, what's that? Yeah, he can get the tent, and we'll all just show up and go tenting for the evening and then go home. have a picnic. But everything did go very well, so thank you. Other than being, pardon? Yes, it was quite a, how can I say it? Learning how to tow whenever they didn't have it really set up right, that was difficult, and number one, and it took me the whole way home to figure out some different things that should have been done or been going on. So hopefully I have it ready. You know, tomorrow is the district council, so we're going to go to Mechanicsburg today and be there and come home either Wednesday night or Thursday morning, so... Yeah, that's right. Make sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I mean, it's just, I don't know. You meet lots of new people, have lots of new experiences, so it'll be good. Need to expand our boundaries. So, well, today's lesson is lesson from the potter's wheel. Jeremiah has, okay, you would think, let's see how we round this up here. You would think that Jeremiah, he's a prophet of God, and God speaks to him. Okay, he has these words from the Lord. So what happens here in this section, Jeremiah, God says, Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. Okay, go to the pottery and watch the people work there. Okay, so it's interesting how that God uses visuals to help us understand what he's trying to tell us. And so God tells Jeremiah, he doesn't give them this message of doom and gloom. He gives them an example of how that if they really want to, they can repent or they can be made over. Okay? So if we have the choice, I'd rather be made over rather than crushed and let's just start all over again, you know? So we have here how that God uses Jeremiah to, and this visual, you know, I don't want to say it's the first visual, but how that he uses these visuals to give us a lesson. I remember when we were in college, we had, can you imagine this, flannel graphs. Remember Glenda, flannel graphs? Remember old flannel graphs? Guys, flannel graphs on the board in Sunday school. You had these guys cut out, and here's Joseph, and here's the donkey, and here's Mary sitting on the donkey, and here's the road. You know, all these flannel graphs. We even had a half of a semester on flannel graphs and how to cut them out and make your own. So today, if you can't put it on camera and digital, forget it. You know, so, but anyhow, those were our ways of illustrating, and so we often take things that are physical, things that we see, things that we understand, and then put a spiritual lesson to it. Jesus did this all the time, you know, with the seeds sown in the rocky ground, the hard ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground on the road and on the roadside. So he often used visuals to give us a particular point. Second thing we have here is how that God, who is, and one of the things, if we are going to see that God is supreme, God is, what's the word here? Sovereign, there it is. God is sovereign. God can do whatever he pleases, okay? And so God is sovereign. He can do everything. Number one, we know that he has all power. We know that he has all knowledge and that he's everywhere present. So the sovereignty of God is such that he knows our future, he knows our past, he knows what's coming, and he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So he is sovereign. Now, God can rearrange the circumstances at will if he wanted to. But the thing that we have to understand is God is governed by his love. If God wasn't, you know, so if you think of yourself, well, what if I had all power, I had all knowledge, and I could do anything? We would really mess with people. There's some people we would just really screw up their life, you know? But no, we wouldn't do that. I'm sorry. we're above all that. Well, yeah. So if you think of God then, how that God is completely, I mean, has all power, you know, it would be nothing for God to, you know, like we go along and flick an ant off the table or flick at a fly or whatever, just boom, dominate them, you know, and whatever. So we would perhaps think of ourselves in that perspective or think of how that life could be best. Well, whenever your primary governing agent, governing personality, governing personage is love. And love is the agape love, which is self-sacrificing. So God is willing to sacrifice himself for us. And in that sacrificing, we know that he is all-powerful, that he is all-knowing, and he is everywhere present. So in this sacrificial person who is willing to do anything and everything to redeem us from our failures, from our mistakes. See, God is not trying to put us in hell, and he's not trying to always crush us, and he's not trying to put us down. He's trying to take what he has already instilled in us and bring out the best of it. And what happens is, this is my new revelation, new to me. The devil is like a leech. You know what a leech is? It's one of them things, blood-sucking things that just attach themselves and suck the life out of you. Well, the devil is a leech. And we now know that some mosquitoes in the Central America, they carry this virus that, you know, leads to deformities in children. So they're not only sucking the life out of us, they're infecting us with something. Evil is like that. Evil sucks the life, and what it focuses on, evil focuses on the good that God wants to do in us, and it focuses on trying to suck that out of us and infiltrate our thinking by saying, you know, you're not good enough, you've sinned too much, you've failed too much, you're too far gone. You know? So that's the lies that this leech wants to put inside of us. And what happens is it's so full of itself and its deceit that we think that that's us. It's been on, my pet leech has been with me for forever, you know. It's big and it just sucks the life out of me, but I like it, you know. And, you know, it fills me with all these wrong thoughts. But God is saying, get rid of it and his love and his grace and his mercy. So he then takes the visuals of our life. He takes the visuals of our life and puts a meaning to them, taking the examples that what happened, things that happened to us. Rhonda forgot her purse. No, not her purse, her wallet. She didn't forget it. She put it in Rachel's purse instead of hers. And so for the last week, we've been without Rhonda's wallet. Now, if you've ever spent a week without your wallet, your ID card, you know, your driver's license and everything else, you have not had a week. So can't cash a check. You know, you can't function anywhere. All the things you want to do, but you know, well, some ID. You have to have ID. So, what was my point? No. Yeah. See, it isn't, the point is that there was, no, it's not humiliation. My goodness, it all works together because yesterday she calls me and we're going, you know, she's at the grocery store and she's in handcuffs because she can't get out. You know, she can't get out of the grocery store. She can't get out of the grocery store. She's got all this stuff and she can't write a check and she don't want to leave it. So, you know, call David. So anyhow, we go up there, and while we're there, we meet somebody, okay? And someone whom we know very well, and it's like that was divine destiny, okay? So what if the entire week and the misplacing of this was a direct act of God putting it someplace else and we having to go through this for this period of time so that we would meet that one person? So it isn't really necessarily an act of forgiving or forgetfulness or embarrassment. It's that all things fit into a plan and a purpose. So what if it was that moment in time? Because had there not been not having a wallet, neither one of us would have met this person. But it was that divine timing. So here we have a sovereign God who can do all things, okay? He can put it all together, he can mix it all up, but it all comes out the way he wants. And in our lives, God is at work causing all these things to fit into a pattern. And the leech says, look back. God says, look ahead. When the leech says, remember, God says, forgiven. When the leech says, you've done this in secret, God says, I know everything. And I love you more than you ever know. Because there's nothing you can do to make me love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make me love you less. So if we want to look back and stumble over our sins and drag them through life, you can't change how much God loves you. And we want to be the most perfect, wonderful person, you can't change how God loves you. Is still the same. So the purpose is so that we can allow ourselves to allow God to do a work in our life to get rid of the past, learn from the past, and yet depend upon the sovereignty of God to take the mistakes and the failures and put them into a pattern in which we are thankful that God is at work in all things. That's Jeremiah going to the potter's wheel. And we'd say, well, how does that fit into the pottery? Well, let's look. So God, the sovereignty of God, okay? Now, we have to have the sovereignty of God in place before we look at this. The sovereignty of God is that he is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, everywhere present. Okay, we get the sovereignty of God is in place. Now, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. So God wants him to go to a certain place, and it's at that place that he's going to talk to him. Now, people ever call you up and say, hey, Pastor, why don't you come over to, I'm going to meet you in such and such a place, and about an hour, and you got to drive 45 minutes to get there, and I'll tell you what it is when you get there. You say, why don't you just tell me now? Yeah. Well, you got to be here to understand what it is that I'm going to say. So look at our lives. You have to be here, right where you're at in your place of life, to hear what God is saying. He is sovereign. He hasn't messed up. He hasn't made a mistake, and he is not looking at our failures. He's looking at what we are to become, and he wants to remove from us everything that the leech has drained from us, okay? Because when the leech is gone, the dreams and the fulfillment of what God wants to do is there. And the leech always comes back and tries to attach itself and, you know, do you remember when and whatever that stuff? Forget it. Don't go there. So, the word came. So, Jeremiah had to go to a certain place to hear what God wanted to tell him. Because to hear what God wanted to show Jeremiah, he couldn't understand it unless he's standing in the potter's house. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. So the potter is messing with some clay on the wheel. So he's throwing the clay on the wheel. Okay. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. This is where the sovereignty of God is. God made it again. He didn't throw out the clay. He didn't say that the potter made a mistake. He said that there were lumps in the clay, or there was air in the clay. And I guess from what the commentator is talking about here, that in order to knead, like you knead bread, you know, like you work it with your hands, kneading. I need a drink? No, I need, you know, kneading bread. Is that the right word, kneading? K-N-E-A-D, there you go. Not N-E-E-D, but K-N-E-A-D. So knead, so the potter has to knead the clay before he starts to work it, so that the clay can arrive at its right texture. Okay? See, whenever the Bible says that throw seed, there's seed on thorny ground and there's seed on the roadside, the hard ground. Well, what do you do with hard ground? You break it up, and you keep breaking it up. You know, you break it up and break it up until that hardness is gone from it. Well, kneading the clay is finding and working out the clay and working it out so that the pockets of air are pushed out or worked out, and that the lumps in the clay, the hardness of the clay is gone, so that whenever in the hands of the potter, there's no boom, 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 some lump in it, you know? So rather than taking the lump, you know, throw it on the ground, that's what I do, you know. Yeah. So, but here we have, so the sovereignty of God is in this, like the sovereignty of the potter. The sovereignty of God is he can make us again. See, God is in the making and the molding business. And that what God puts together in us is for our good, our success, and our, as it were, prosperity, our growing and developing, and that should it need be, crushed again, the crushing process is only to make the vessel better. So working the clay on the wheel, molding by the hands, it is a lengthy and it is aggressive process, getting rid of the air bubbles. Repeatedly, the clay is cut in half and slammed to the slammed together. They cut it with a rope, not a rope, but a thin wire, and they cut it, and they cut it into squares, and then they put it together and work it again and so on. So it's a long process just to get the clay where it needs to be. And I think of this one, that what if the vessel that we are is really just the clay being worked together, because what we are to become, he still is, you know, forming it. He knows what it's going to be. He knows what it's going to look like. He knows what it's going to be used for. So if the sovereignty of God is in place, and the sovereignty of God is governed by his love for us and for our place in the body of Christ, then he has a purpose. He has a purpose for the vessel that we are to become. And some of us are crackpots, but that doesn't matter. Remember the story of the lady who carries these two pots from the well up to the house. And one on the pots are talking in the story, in the illustration. And the pots are talking to the lady. And the one that is cracked, you know, is apologizing for all of the water that it has lost over the course of time being hauled up the pathway to the house. And the lady says, no, you're perfect, because that's the side of the path where all my flowers are. So I water them every time I go up the hill. So the crack in the pot was for a specific purpose. And so so whenever we look at our defects, our faults, they're not really defects and they're really not faults, because God is able to use those things and turn them around for good so that we can become what God wants us to do. And to fulfill that specific purpose, we have to be the way we are. There are qualities that we have that God is not wanting rid of. You know, there are qualities that we are. He just wants those qualities to be used in a different way and for a higher purpose. You know, he doesn't want me to change personalities. You know, I can't. Because this is who I am. He helped make me this way. It's God's fault. That was a joke. Okay. So we have then sovereignty of God, and we see how the sovereignty is illustrated in the potter. Now we find how that this vessel, and this Jeremiah is now trying to teach a lesson to the children of Israel. So then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do the same? Can I do with you as the potter? So God is saying to the whole nation of Israel, I can do with you, can I not do, is, you know, I can do with you exactly as the potter does with the clay. I can do this. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. So here they are wicked, and we're going to find that out here, and they are walking away from God, and, you know, they're caught up in their sins or their whatever they're doing. It's a rebellion against God, and they know it. And they're trying to, Jeremiah's used by God to try and make this thing work. And he's telling them, God's saying, I can do whatever I want. But, okay, at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy? If I want to do what I want to do, I can do. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So repentance, it's like when Jonah went to Nineveh. You know, Jonah decided he's going to go in a different direction. You know, the sovereignty of God here in Jonah is just, you know, it's just phenomenal. How that God can help us get where we need to be even when we're running away from him. You see, God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, not going. Those people deserve to die. They deserve the wrath of God. I ain't going. So he goes in a different direction. So the storm comes. They throw him overboard. And when they throw him overboard, he gets swallowed by a fish, a big fish. And it would have been something if if you read Jonah, I like the part where Jonah says the pressure of the deep. I mean, he's down there in the bottom of the ocean feeling the pressure of all that, you know, through the whale. And anyhow, he ends up being spewed out on the ground, on dry ground, and heading in the right direction. There was a little story with Jonah. I can't remember what it is. But anyhow, Jonah, in the sovereignty of God, God was taking Jonah and putting him back on course. So God is capable of stopping us in our tracks. Even when we're running away from him, he can take the events of life and so crush everything that we have one avenue left, and that's to follow him. But God doesn't, it was in the belly of the whale that Jonah decided that he should, you know, maybe go to Nineveh. Okay? Here's a guy being digested. You know, he's being digested in a whale. And, you know, he's not sitting on a chair with a little light, you know, on a stool there. He's being digested by a whale, and he got all this krill and stuff all around him, you know, yucky stuff, slimy stuff, you know, battery acid juice all around him. I bet he was a sight for sore eyes, huh? But anyhow, you know, when he went to Nineveh, here's this guy that's been being digested for 3 days coming to talk to you. And the point was that God did not have a message of repentance for Nineveh. He just had a message of judgment. And when the people heard about the judgment of God, they repented. And that's exactly what Jonah didn't want. Well, here, God is saying, I have a message of repentance. I have a message of restoration. So if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from the evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So God is saying, if you repent and get back to your righteous ways, none of this stuff has to happen. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. So God's desire is to build and to plant. And our recognition is that God is building and planting, not destroying. See, people walk, go around with life. Life's falling apart. The world's falling apart. The government's falling apart. The sins rampant on the world, and God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We got rampages. Yes, that's true. But God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, and the church is bigger than it's ever been. The church is more spiritual and more dedicated to God than it's ever been. There are more martyrs for the kingdom of God now than there's ever been in the history of the church. So there are two extremes going on at the same time. And yes, there are all these things wrong, but yes, there are all these things right. God is at work, and those who are running from God are being sucked into and believe the leech, that's sucking the life out of them. But God is saying, I can build and to plant. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said, and I said it would benefit them. So what God has said would benefit us, and what the good he has done for us, Jeremiah is telling them, God can withdraw that too. It's like, when God has his hand on our life, we believe that God has his hand on our life, that he is at work in all things, even the crazy, stupid things, even the little things that go right and go wrong, that God is at work in all these things. So if God is at work, then I am to be looking for the hand of God, not trying to judge the hand of God. And I don't make judgments on my life based upon my feelings. I make judgments upon my life based upon what God tells me, that he is at work. And if I'm, and so he's going to use my abilities and my thoughts and my abilities. If he wants me to be like somebody else, he'd have made me like somebody else. So he's made me the way I am. So in this person, God is at work with his word, forming my life to be a vessel that can be used for him. But he is doing the very same thing in each of us. We are vessels in the hands of God. Yes. Mm-hmm. I, the Lord, have a plan for you, and it is for good and not for evil. You see, God wants to do good in our life. I'll close with this. There was this guy years ago. He was hellfire and brimstone. He didn't come here. He wasn't involved in this church. He was involved in another one. And it was, hellfire and brimstone. Everybody, he knew, we need more hell. We don't need any more love. We got too much love going on around here. We need more love. We got to snatch people from the fires of hell. And he knew every biblical reference to hell and damnation and death and punishment and how that God was going to do. And he would just go on and rant and rave like this for forever. And no matter when you talk to him, same story. Well, he happened to have cancer, and he was going to die. He wasn't terminally ill, but he was functioning, running around with his still rampage. And I often ask him, I said, "What is your image of God?" Well, when he was in critical care, he died of a heart attack. And I think he, this is Dave McGee, I think he died out of fear, because his fear of God pulled him to God, but he never allowed himself to experience the love of God. Now, if we're going, if the fear of God can come into our hearts and minds, I don't want to go to hell, I don't want to do these things, I don't, God forgive me. Well, when we are forgiven, we have to accept the love of God, and we have to accept forgiveness in its totality, in its completeness. We have to accept the forgiveness, and the forgiveness of God does not set us in judgment, nor does it cause us to come to this place where we're always afraid of God and we're always afraid of hell, and we're going to step on the magic button and go to hell. You know, it can be used. It is real. It is just as real as heaven is. But God's purpose is about loving us, and his sovereignty is about bringing us to a place where we understand his love and his forgiveness. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to understand his love and his forgiveness. And in this forgiveness, we understand restoration. We are restored to what God intended us to be from the very beginning. And when I am restored, then I am sitting at the king's table. I am reading what God has me to read. I am becoming what God wants me. I'm being shaped by the hand of God, not by the fears of life, failure, or hell, or sins of the past. I understand his forgiveness, his love, his grace, his mercy. And all these things lead me, shape me, so my life can become profitable. Profitable. That who we are can add value to the kingdom of God, add value to us, and add value to the people we touch. That's where I think the sovereignty of God and the purpose of God come together in shaping our lives. Amen? Sound good? Sound check? Sound good? Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible says about we shall be saved and our household. So God is at work in a nation, but God is at work in our lives, and God is at work in our families, and God is at work in, you know, see, so the hand of God and the sovereignty of God is at work in bringing us to places in our life where it is a divine intersection, and our mistakes fit perfectly into God's plan. It's all part of a plan. And so rather than focusing on fixing, we need to focus on praising and thanking and living. You know? And in the praising and thanking and living, we'll find that the other things have been fixed. They've been taken care of. So I'm at peace. Yes. And notice that the potter doesn't throw away the clay.
Yeah.
The potter doesn't throw away the clay. God has never yet thrown any of us away. Never. The worst of sinners. They may have left life denying the potter, but God never threw the clay out. Just part of the plan. Just part of the plan. Imagine the sovereign. Now, just for a moment, think about the sovereignty of God, his love for us. It's all governed by love. All power, all knowledge, everywhere present. But it's all governed by love. And the touch of God upon our life is for good, for blessing. I, the Lord, know the plans I have for you, to prosper you, not to make you set in judgment, but that the piece of clay is still a very workable piece of clay, and that clay will never be thrown away. Amen? That's it. We're not taking off the world till we're finished. Then we get thrown in the oven. Amen. God bless. That's right. Yeah, then we got the heat. Amen.